Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Niradvanvo Nitya Satvasto Niyoga Kshema Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results, which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane. Arjuna, as a student and friend of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahma Jigyasa, or questions on the supreme transcendence. All the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom, advising how to live and get rid of material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely the Karma Kanda chapter, are finished, then this chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are a part of the different Vedas. As the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata, the Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities, such as happiness and distress, or cold and warmth. And by tolerating such dualities, become free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. The scriptures of the world are the guidebooks for all humanity of how to advance in all the various fields of occupation. In fact, it is said that the Vedas are like a desire tree, because whatever you desire, it teaches you how to fulfill that desire. There are various sections of the Vedas for different people of different levels of consciousness. Just as it is said, there are different slokas for different folks. If someone wants a good husband or a good wife, there are sections of the Vedas which explain which particular god to worship, when and how. And certainly your desire will be fulfilled in due course of time if you follow this procedure properly. Some people want good health. There are sections in the Vedas which explain how to perform various pujas and accept various disciplines in one's life by which one can live a long life in good health. Others desire great wealth, money, prestige, fame. These things all can be attained by following the various sections of the Karmakanda division of the Vedas. Karmakanda means the path which teaches you how to improve your karma and live a more comfortable and luxurious life. In fact, such great asuras as Hiranyakashipu, they were also students of Vedas. In fact, the greatest asuras in the history of this world were students of the Vedas, because they knew that the Vedas were a desire tree. Hiranyakashipu, by performing the Vedic rites in order to satisfy Lord Brahma, he was able to conquer the entire universe. Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shankar, And because he followed very carefully the systematic procedures of the Vedas, by pleasing Lord Shankar, he gained benedictions by which he could conquer all the world. He attained great mystic powers, and of course he used it all for his own envious and selfish purposes. So the Vedas teach, whoever you are, the best way of attaining the fulfillment of your desires. And because generally people in this world are very materialistic, when God speaks through the Vedas, he does not expect that everyone is willing to surrender to him immediately. So therefore, there are instructions which gradually bring one closer from the mode of ignorance, tamaguna, to the mode of passion, from the mode of passion, rajaguna, to the mode of goodness, and ultimately from the mode of goodness to the transcendental position of making the service of the Lord one's life and soul. Sometimes it appears that there are contradictions in the Vedas. And if you do not understand the purpose of the Vedas, then you definitely will see contradictions. Unless you see what is the plan of the Lord and how he is developing these Vedic literatures in such a way to bring the conditioned soul to the platform of consciousness of pure devotion, then it will appear there are so many contrary instructions for so many contrary people. Just like 5 + 5 = 10, and also 8 + 2 = 10, and also 9 + 1 = 10, and also 6 + 4 = 10, and 7 + 3 = also 10. So there are different ways of approaching 10. If you are small-minded, you think only the way that I have learned, that is the only way to approach 10. But if you understand the real nature of the number 10, you will understand how it can be divided in so many ways. So one who understands the truth understands things as they are. But one who understands only one part, only one approach to the truth, he cannot see how various paths of self-realization are harmonious with one another. But Krishna explains here to Arjuna that dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, that the Vedas are spoken by God. They are not written by any common man. They were written by Srila Vyasadeva, who is a literary incarnation of Godhead himself. And Krishna is explaining that the Vedas mainly deal with how to increase your sense gratification. And that is a fact. They are mainly discussing artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, how you can improve your sense gratification, how you can become more proficient in your economic development, how you can follow the system of piety or religiosity, and ultimately, it also teaches liberation. But Krishna is explaining that there is an ultimate beyond this ultimate of liberation. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamambapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After following the various Vedic processes in the various religions of the world, when one finally comes to the point of knowledge, he surrenders to me, Krishna says. And therefore, he is telling Arjuna in this verse that the Vedas are mainly for the common man who is not willing to surrender to God. But you should not be like them. He said, give up all of these preliminary instructions. Give up the three modes of material nature and be established in the self. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papi vyomoksha ishami mashu. Abandon all varieties of religion, Krishna says, and just surrender to me. That is the only state of happiness. This month, there is the celebration of Lord Ganesh. And people all over India, especially in Maharashtra, are worshipping Lord Ganapati with great devotion, often, and with many, many rituals. Now, of course, the Vedas explain how to worship Lord Ganesh and why. There are people who worship him in the mode of ignorance. People worship him in the mode of passion. People worship him in the mode of goodness. And people also worship him on a transcendental platform. And you will find that they have different type of worship. And they worship him for a different purpose. I remember when I first came to India, I was passing through Old Delhi, and there was a Ganesh temple. And I saw this whole family of about 30 people. And they were just worshiping the Murti of Ganesh with such enthusiasm. And they had such longing in their eyes. So I was thinking, my God, these people are really, really saintly people. I should learn something from them. So I waited about 1 hour while their puja was going on, and I was being very much impressed. And I was thinking, such devotion. I want to find out how to be like this. So afterward, I spoke to them. They spoke very nice English. I said, can you tell me about this puja that you are performing? Tell me, you know, what is your philosophical feelings and thinking when you are performing this puja? And the man said, oh, he said, I just expanded my business and the whole family is coming together to pray to him to make our business prosperous. I said, is that all? He said, what more is there than that? He said, if your business is prosperous, everything else follows. And then I decided that I should go on looking for my spiritual master. So Krishna says in Gita, kamaisthaistha hritya jnana prapadyantenya devata tam tami vaitikonti asidathad bhava bhavata. If that's what you want from Ganesh, that's what he will give you. Eventually he will give it. But Krishna says that those who are very small-minded and very unfortunate, they worship the devatas for material benedictions. Because such benedictions are limited and temporary. Ultimately, they cause frustration and bondage. Whatever the demigods give you to satisfy your senses, ultimately, they are giving you problems. Because it is temporary. To the degree you attain things in this world, to that degree you become attached to those things, and when they are taken away, and they will be, either today or tomorrow, there is frustration, there is sorrow. All your material attachments culminate in death. Therefore, because in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, we are following in the footsteps of the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and we are also on behalf of His Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are presenting the revealed truths of the essence of the Vedas as it has been handed down by great acharyas since time immemorial. We would like to offer our glorification to Lord Ganesh according to the principle of pure devotional service. You see, the birthday of a great soul is honored not for what we can get from him, but what we could give to him. Correct? Just like on somebody's birthday, do you come and say, what gift have you brought for me? Huh? Or do you bring a gift and say, I'm giving you this, but I want this in exchange? Is that the way you celebrate a person's birthday? How many do like this? Oh, today is Tattva's birthday party. So we invite everybody. And everyone comes and says, Tattva, here's a garland, but I want 1 crore of rupees in return. Oh, Tattva Prabhu, very nice. I'm so happy to celebrate your birthday. I'll sing and I'll dance, but in return, I want that you give me a good husband. Huh? I want money, I want wealth, I want prestige, I want a business, I want everything. Give me, give me, give me. What kind of a birthday? Tattva would be just, my God, better I wasn't ever born. What kind of friends are this? On a person's birthday, you should be giving. You shouldn't expect anything in return. Just give. This is love. We should not do business with these great personalities. Actual worship is not business. It is an expression of love. Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Narsingadev came just to protect him, to destroy Hiranyakashipu. And after Narsingadev did like this, he asked Prahlad, "Now ask any benediction from me." And Prahlad said, "My lord, why do you ask me to ask a benediction? Do you think I'm a businessman?" "Maybe you may be a businessman amongst other people." But Prahlad said, "I'm not doing business with you. I am your devotee. A devotee does not do business with his lord. If I'm giving you something and expecting something in return, that means business. Love means unconditional. So therefore, let us glorify the unconditional love of Lord Ganesh. What he has contributed to the world, we should be grateful for that. And what he could really give us, we should understand. In other words, when you go to a rich man, do you ask him for 10 paisa? When you go to a rich man, you can get a lot. But most of all, you should be going, and you should be going to please him. So Lord Ganesh, it is described that he was living in Badrik Ashram on the bank of the river Saraswati, and he had a beautiful cave. If you go to Badrinath, you will see his cave. It is at about a 10-minute walk from the cave of Sri Vedavyas. And when Vedavyas was writing the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavat, and various of the other Vedic literatures, Vedavyas, in the seclusion of his own cave, was speaking what the Lord in his heart was inspiring him to speak. He was a Shaktivesh-avatar who was perfectly in tune with the Lord in the heart. And as he spoke, Lord Ganesh was sitting in his cave and he was writing. So factually, the very basis of our spiritual lives is by the mercy of Lord Ganesh, because he has written the Vedas. And without the Vedas, there would be no standard of how to live in devotion to God. All the great acharyas, their authority is based on how much they are perfectly repeating the conclusions of the Vedas. When the great acharyas speak, they confirm everything as truth by citing the passages of the Vedas. We have no means of understanding how to approach God without the scriptures of the world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one who disregards the rules and regulations of the scriptures, that person is doomed to suffering and bondage in his life. So how glorious of a debt that we owe Lord Ganesh, that he has written the Vedas and shown us the path by which we can evolve from our conditioned state of bondage to a liberated state of pure devotion. Krishna says in Gita, Vedaishtasarvairahamevavedyovedantakridvedavadevachaham. Very important to understand this verse. Krishna says, "I am the compiler of the Vedas, and by all the Vedas I am to be known." So therefore, we can understand through the scripture that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjayat mai saravam idam protam sutre manigana iva. Krishna says, "There is no truth superior to me. Everything is resting upon me as pearls are strung on a thread." So therefore, this very, very great personality is the empowered representative, being perfectly utilized as the instrument in the hands of the Lord to write his very words and to teach us how to surrender to Krishna. What does Ganesh write in his Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. He is writing that Krishna, the Lord of all lords, is saying, "Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me." And we are reading his writing. And this is what he is explaining to us. So this is the glory we should see. These glorious demigods in such exalted positions, that they are pure devotees of the Lord, who are department heads acting on behalf of the Lord to give all of us the opportunity to live within this world happily and ultimately achieve the ultimate goal of life. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that in the Vedas it is explained that Lord Ganesh especially is worshipped to remove impediments on one's path in life. Therefore, he explains that a devotee can pray to Lord Ganesh to remove his impediments in his path of devotion to Krishna. Om Ganesh Pate Namaha. In fact, Gaudiya Vaishnavas oftentimes, before they go on the altar of the Lord, they offer their obeisances to Lord Ganesh. And oftentimes in Gaudiya Vaishnava temples and in Narayan temples all around, you see a little murti of Ganesh over the altar. Because the reason we cannot worship the Lord with love is there are so many impediments in our hearts. Those impediments are essentially the tendency to commit offenses to the Lord and His devotees. So therefore, if such a great demigod can help us remove impediments, let us ask Him, remove these impediments that are keeping me from being able to show love to your own master, Lord Hari. This is the same way we approach the spiritual master. This is the same way we approach the great saints. Please remove impediments from my heart so that pure love of God can manifest. And of course, we worship those great souls who by their example show complete faith and complete devotion to the Lord. The Lord is none different than His name. It is said in the scriptures that one who understands in truth, with realization, that there is no difference between the name of God and God, that person is a perfectly self-realized soul. We theoretically understand that God is none different than His name. But do we have complete faith in that truth? As soon as we have complete faith and conviction that God is none different than His name, we are pure devotees. We are liberated. We are no longer in this material world. So you know the story of the race between the two brothers who were the sons of Lord Shankar. There was Kartikeya and Ganesh. And they were supposed to have a race around the world, Now, of course, from all material logic, Kartikeya was much faster. He was a warrior. He's always seen holding a spear. And he's built like a very dexterous and powerful warrior who could fight with the speed of the mind. And not only that, his carrier is a very, very empowered peacock that can fly faster than lightning. And on the other side, there was Lord Ganesh. Lord Ganesh is mostly known as a pundit. He writes the Vedas. He sits up at Badrikashram with Vedavyas, and he's writing and writing and writing. And his devotees, they are always offering him all these big ladus. So he's not very lean and thin. In fact, he's quite stout. Raghunath is getting encouragement from this. So, he's not such a fast runner like that. And although he's heavy and he's like that, he doesn't ride on a flying peacock, but he rides on a mouse. How fast is a mouse? So then the race began. On your mark, get set, go. And Kartikeya went, whoosh, he was off. Nobody could see him within the next second. And Lord Ganesh, he's just, okay, mouse, go. Do 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 like that. Do 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 do. And Ganesh was thinking, wow, I have complete faith in the name of Ram. That is all I need. So he wrote on the ground the name Ram. And because he had absolute faith that Ram was none different than his name, he simply did parikram around the name of Ram. And a few seconds later, Kartikeya returned. And he saw Ganesh. He had only gone a few steps. He said, just see. Lord Ganesh has won the race. What? How is this possible? Because it took you a few seconds to go around the whole world. But everything is within Ram. The name of Ram is none different than Ram. He has not only gone around the world, he has gone around the entire universe. Not only around the entire universe, he has gone around the entire cosmic manifestation. Not only around the entire cosmic manifestation, he has gone around the entire existence. He has circumambulated all infinity and everything within it. So this is the glory of the great souls. They have complete faith that the name of God is none different than the Lord himself. Rupa Goswami has told us that if you like to travel, circumambulate the temple of Vishnu 3 times a day. Because if you circumambulate, you've already gone around everything that exists. You've been everywhere. Huh? I remember at one time my Guru Maharaj told me that you go up this mountain and there's a temple up there of Radha and Krishna, and you stay there the rest of your life and you never leave it. Huh? He told me to be the pujari, and he said a good pujari never, ever, ever leaves the deities until the day he dies. So I said, well, how far can I go from the house? He said, you cannot leave the building of the temple. I said, but we have no bathrooms in the temple. It will not be polite for me to respond to nature in Krishna's temple. Okay, you can go within 20 meters and dig a hole in the ground. That's the farthest you can go from the temple. So for many years I was up there. And for 75% of the time I was all alone. So sometimes I would think how nice it would be to travel to this place and that place. Huh? And then I would remember the words of Rupa Goswami. So whenever I would get this very strong itch to start traveling, I would just start circumambulating the temple. Then I would think, I've been everywhere. Now I've been everywhere and back. Now I'm satisfied. And what I learned is if you have that faith, you actually have the realization that you have been everywhere and back. Because everything is within Krishna. When Krishna opened his mouth for his mother to see whether he had eaten dirt, she saw the entire universe within his mouth. Krishna wanted to prove to the world that everything is within him. And it is said, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha, that the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Nam nama kari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapi tan yamita smirnena kala ethadrishita vakripa bhagavan mamapi duradaivam idrisham ihajani nanuragaha. Lord Chaitanya has prayed, my dear Lord, in your name you have empowered all of your potencies, all of your glories, everything is within your name. That is our faith. But how many really have that faith? That in all situations, if we simply call out the name of God, we are protected by his divine mercy. Draupadi, when she was being disrobed, she cried out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And Krishna promised that if you approach me in devotion, I will preserve what you have and I carry what you lack. He preserved her chastity and he carried her sari. So it was so long that Dushasana could not disturb her. This is the glory of the name of God. So Lord Ganesh has so wonderfully and beautifully, through his own example, showed his complete faith in the name of God. And in this way, he is an acharya because he is teaching us by his example the goal of life, to have complete faith in the name of God. So therefore, we understand that he is a demigod, and he is empowered to give material benedictions to those who approach him for that. But that does not please him. The demigods are never pleased by those who ask for material benedictions. They have to give it if you give them the proper service. But they are pleased when they see a person approaching them for the supreme goal of life, prema pumartha mahan, which is love of God. So therefore, it is only really the devotees who really give pleasure and worship to the great demigods. Because the devotees are satisfying the real desires of the demigods. The demigods want to see everyone go back home, back to Godhead. Huh? The gopis worshipped Goddess Durga to have Krishna as their husband. Not because they wanted to enjoy Krishna, but they wanted to completely surrender their lives for Krishna's enjoyment. So in this way, if we really want to offer the ultimate glory and service for the pleasure of Lord Ganapati, the greatest thing we can do is glorify his divine qualities as a pure devotee of the Lord and be inspired by those divine qualities and not simply ask him like a businessman, give me this and give me that, but we offer him our love on the basis of the great inspiration he is giving us. He has given us the Vedas, and he has given us such a wonderful example of an acharya. And therefore, if we really want to please him, we will ask him to help us to please the object of his love. And then we can really understand the real, from the point of view of what Krishna is speaking in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, from the point of view of being above the three modes of material nature, from the point of view of striving for the conclusion of all knowledge, utter surrender to the feet of God. From that point of view, we can understand a relationship with such great empowered souls. From the transcendental point of view that Krishna is pleading with us to come to, we can accept everything favorable for devotional service and reject everything unfavorable. Increase of material attachments is unfavorable. Development of the service attitude, of the loving devotional attitude, is utterly favorable. So let this be our real desire in life. And then our lives will be perfect. When you water the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are nourished. When we satisfy Krishna, who says, Aham Saravasya Prabhavo Mata Saravam Pravartate, that he is the source and the root of everything. By that process, every demigod, every living being is ultimately satisfied, because he is the root of all. So there is no greater pleasure to any of the devatas than when they see their devotees surrendering to Narayan. And there is no greater pleasure than if they can assist in helping us to remove impediments in the service of Narayan. So let us make this our great goal of life, and in this way, we will become most fortunate. And in this way, we can give the greatest pleasure to our object of worship. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? He is asking why Lord Shiva, Lord Ganesh, they are easily pleased. Ashutosh means very easily pleased. Why would he give us something that is not good for us? Because you have to understand, Lord Shiva is actually an expansion of Narayan. He is above the position of a jivatma, of an ordinary living entity. But because he accepts the post of a demigod, he has to live according to that post. The post of a demigod is they have no independence. If you give them the worship, they have to give you what you want. In other words, just like in America, There are gun stores that sell rifles and pistols and various guns. Huh? Now, if you have a license and you have the money, they cannot refuse you, whoever you are. Even if you are known to be a murderer, if you have the license and you have the money, they are obligated by law to give you the gun that you want. Huh? They can't say, no, no, I cannot give to you because you are a criminal. If they do, they will be put in jail because they're not allowed to discriminate. Huh? So similarly, the position of the demigods is anyone who approaches them and performs the proper tapasya, performs the proper ritual, they must give them the benediction that they want. They have no choice. They are not independent. If you approach a businessman in a business way, he has to do business with you, right? It's business. You paid, I have to give the goods. They cannot even consider. Even in the story of Lord Shiva, Vrikasura was a demon. He was cutting off his flesh and offering it to Shiva with mantras. Ultimately, Lord Shiva had to come to him and say, what do you want? He said, I want that anybody whose head I touch will crack and they will die. Lord Shiva said, this is demoniac. How can I give you this? He says, this is what I want. Lord Shiva had to give it to him. And the first person he wanted to kill was Lord Shiva because he wanted his wife, Parvati, to be his own. So he started chasing Lord Shiva all around, and Lord Shiva was running away. Finally, Lord Narayan saw this, and he disguised himself as a little boy. And he said to Vrikasura, what are you doing? He said, aha, I want Parvati as my wife. How are you going to get Parvati as your wife? Her husband, he's very great. Ah, but I have the benediction by him that if I touch his head, he will die. And I'm going to touch his head, you just see. And Lord Narayan said, huh, you are such a crazy fellow. What do you mean, crazy fellow? Because you believe Lord Shiva. I've seen this Lord Shiva so many times. He gives all these benedictions, they never work. You're running all this way, all over the universe, you're running, spending all your valuable energy, you're going to touch his head and nothing's going to happen. And then everyone's going to laugh at you, all your friends are, ha, 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 what a fool. I said, what? He said, yes, you're going to look like a great fool. You're going to be so embarrassed. How can you trust this Lord Shiva? How can you trust somebody who's wearing snakes and skulls and all these things? Well, what should I do? He said, well, at least if there's even the slightest doubt in your mind, you should test this benediction before you make a fool out of yourself. How do I test? He said, well, what you should do is you should touch your head and see if it works. He said, oh, that's good. He's dead. This is in the Bhagavad. So you see, even though he knew that this man was a demon, he had no choice. He had to give it because he paid the cost. He did his tapasya. He performed his puja. So you see, people who are very materialist, they like to worship those persons who are in the position of demigods because they know the demigod has to give them what they want. But people who are materialistic, oftentimes, they're afraid to worship Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is not a demigod. He is Swayam Bhagwan. That means he is independent to do whatever he wants. If you worship the demigods for a benediction, they will give you the benediction. But if you worship Krishna for the same benediction, he may give it, he may not give it, he may even take everything else away. His name is Lord Hari, which means one who steals. Yasyaham anagrinnami harishyetad dhanam shanai. Krishna says that, when I show my mercy to my devotee, I give him what he wants. But when I show my real mercy, I take everything away so he has no one else to turn to except me. Huh? So Krishna is the Supreme Father, aham bija pratapita. He gives you what you need, not what you want. If what you need and what you want is the same, he'll give you. Just like we have this little child. Does your child like to go to school? Does any child like to go to school? So do you say, all right, I am your father, do not go to school. If he comes to you and says, Father, I am asking for a benediction. Yes, I am your father. What do you want? I never want to go to school again. What will you say? Will you say, lo and behold, never will you go to school again? No, you will say, get on the bus and go to school. Right? Children like to eat sweets, huh? Ladoos and gulab jamuns and all these things. So children say, Father, grant me a benediction. I only want to eat gulab jamuns. And the father says, you eat your chapatis and your rice and your dal. Huh? Because the father gives the child what he needs, not what he wants. If the child wants rice and chapatis, then yes. That is a good father. So Krishna is the supreme. He is the perfect father. So if you ask for something that is not conducive for your spiritual development, you think he's going to give it to you? He will say, no. You have these things that are causing you bondage, and you want more? You're asking me? Not only will I not give you what you want, but I'll take everything you have away. Only Narayan has that priority. The others have to give you. That's why materialistic people are often very much attached to worshipping devatas. But they're very afraid of Lord Hari, because they do not have faith that Krishna loves you and will give you exactly what you need. The demigods want to give you what you need. But unfortunately, you leave them no choice to give them, because you are asking for something that is going to cause difficulty in your life. That is why the devotees of Ram and the devotees of Krishna, Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, they all worship Lord Shiva, because they know he is easily pleased. And they know how dear he is to Narayan. And they know if they can please him, how much he can bestow upon them Krishna consciousness. He is the Param Vaishnava. Huh? So if he is easily pleased, worship him for the right thing, not for the wrong thing. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Have you ever come across a single story of your devotee who's lighter than this?
Ah.
Why is it always so much full of bad information?
I'm trying to think of one. I think you're right. Because when there are trials and tribulations in our life, that is the greatest opportunity to express the purity of our devotion. Anybody can be a nice devotee when everything is going the way you like it. Huh? The test of the real devotion, the test of your faith, the opportunity to express the most intensified love, is when there is problems in your life. Huh? So therefore, the pure devotee is to teach us. You see, in Vaikuntha, nobody has any problems. You're talking about pure devotees in this world. Vaikuntha is a place of no anxiety. In Vaikuntha, there is no problems, ever. Everyone is simply happy, eternally. No demons, nobody criticizing you, no lack of anything. Everything is simply wonderful. But in this material world, this is a place of birth and death. This is a place of great attachment. So how to be relieved of this attachment? How to learn to take shelter of Krishna? The pure devotees in this world, they come on behalf of Krishna to show others. Otherwise, what business do they have to be in this world? Why don't they just stay in Vaikuntha? They come to this world to assist the Lord in his mission, which is to teach us how to be pure devotees. And unless trials, tribulations, and tests come into our life, it's practically impossible for us to ever really sincerely take shelter of the Lord. The tendency in this world is if everything is nice, even though we're religious, we think, yes, yes, Krishna is very nice. Yes, I know Krishna. Yes, I'm his devotees. Yes, I'm chanting my rounds. Yes, I'm doing my puja. Yes, I give my donations, right? But that is not the process of going back to Godhead. You have to see that Krishna is your life and soul. You have to have no other support and no other shelter. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mam, no other shelter than God. And unless you're tested and put in a very, very great crisis, generally, you never really have the opportunity to wholeheartedly cry out, Krishna, save me. Krishna, from this day, I am yours. Huh? So that is the process by which each and every one of us has to become God conscious. And the pure devotees, yadyaracharati sreshtas tattar evetarojana, we will follow in their footsteps. So Krishna arranges their life in such a way to teach us by their example how to turn to God when the crises in life come upon us. And in this way, by accepting these crises, they are offering the greatest service to the Lord for our benefit. Do you understand? Therefore, in this material world, whether you are a devotee or not a devotee, there will be crisis and suffering in your life. The difference is if you're not a devotee, in that situation, you simply get further entangled in bondage and ignorance. But a devotee in that situation, the doors to liberation are opened before him. Krishna says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish. I will always protect my devotee. We have that faith. And with that faith, there is no obstacle that can divert our attention away from the goal of life. Huh? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.